Welcome to Ever Beyond on Free Thinking Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Good evening and welcome to Ever Beyond. We are very pleased. I am very pleased, speaking for myself, me personally, to have my dear friend Rita Herreys on tonight. And Rita sent me pages and pages of biographies here, and I've just pulled a few lines out because it would take the rest of the show to read it all out. But Rita is a multifaceted diamond. I was going to say diamond geezer, but no, diamond woman. She has a diploma in fashion design and started at the age of 19. Her first collection was in the Observer Color magazine, Look Now, and Cosmopolitan. And that started her 25 years experience in business. She sold her own designs to Topshop and Miss Selfridge. And in the first year, at the age of 24, she turned over £350,000, which was a lot of money in 1997. In parallel with that, she had a passion, has a passion for guiding people with astrology. And she was an astrologer to many high-profile people and was a guest on various radio shows, Capital Radio, other ones. And actually had a live astrology show at Edinburgh Festival and had a different audience each night for 3 weeks. That's one. Those are the kind of sort of open to the public sides. From her very early age, her father, who was Indian, and she has a Lebanese mother, and her father taught her about meditation from the age of four. Studies astrology and palmistry from the age of 11, and has finally been recognized as a high-level yogini and tantrika by various Tibetan lamas and yogis from India. As well as sharing her deep esoteric studies of ageless wisdom, and some of you may be familiar with some of the ageless wisdom, as the stuff that I'm going on about as well. She also holds shamanic ceremonies, as well as a very practical approach of her successful clothes brand, which is called Rita Herreys in Mudra, which is a collection of naturally, ethically produced clothes inspired around color therapy to nourish and soothe people through the high-frequency colors. They are absolutely gorgeous, and Rita will share some of her links to if you want to have a look at these clothes. They're absolutely exquisite. And not only that, she paints these amazing luminous pictures, and I hope that Rita, you'll be able to post some of the paintings samples into the chat room so people can have a look at that. I haven't managed to upload any of those, but we'll see what we can do. So, without further ado, welcome Rita Herreys.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. That's so nice to be talking. It's very sad that we haven't had so much time to chat, and I apologise for that. And it's great that, like a lot of my friends say, if you want to have any time with me, you have to work with me. And I think, you know, this is the time with meeting, isn't it? Because I think time is so precious, and I feel like I am on a mission at some level. Like, just don't really spend very much time chit-chatting for the sake of it, and this is a great way to connect with you today.
So your microphone seems covered up. It doesn't seem to be very close to you at the moment. I'm wondering if we've actually found the right place for it, because it may be a different place from where you're talking. He's still a bit muffled.
Can you hear me well now?
That's good.
Okay, good. I'm going to just keep with this little angle here. Yeah. Into my microphone. Okay.
Sorry about that. You walk around with your laptop glued to the side of your head like a telephone.
That's what I'm doing. Quite funny.
Ah, the esoteric astrologer's life, eh? So, yes, it's a great opportunity to work together and actually to have an esoteric blether because, well, you know, I'm sure you have the same feeling, is that you don't get the chance to really kind of let it hang and talk energies with people, eh?
Actually, that's not true for me. I'm grateful to say living in Glastonbury for the last 18 years, I do it every day.
Oh, lovely.
And that this is my life, to have this level of conversation. I feel that I loved what you said right at the very beginning of your show, which is about being beyond duality. And I feel I'm at a place in my life where it's beyond duality, that, you know, everything is in a place of integration, which means I don't compromise this quality of conversation that we're going to have tonight with anyone at any time. It's all the time.
Oh, that's absolutely beautiful. I have to deal with people who, you know, just cut wood and fix cars and things like that. They don't have much time for the esoterics world. But anyway, you'd think in Findhorn you'd have a few more people than that, but you don't really. But it's still great to be here and to kind of connect these two great centres in Britain. Glastonbury being a kind of I was just going to say it's like a central processing point. You know, everybody goes through Glastonbury.
It is.
It's like
a place. It's true.
And it's such a nexus of loads of different historical and ancient threads that pass through Britain's history and the world's history. And it was wonderful to have spent, you know, I only spent about a year in Glastonbury. And then I went on to the Findhorn community, which was, it was nice. It would have been better than going to Birmingham.
I mean, let's face it, you are in an amazing place. It's somewhere that I really would love to visit. Please organise that for me. I want to come.
We will organise a fantastic time, and we'll do ceremony with your herbs, and you'll meet my soulmates up here as well. Our soulmates.
Good. So, you know what? As you were just talking about this and talking about Glastonbury, the one thing that I'm thinking about as you're saying this is, wherever I go, whether it's Sri Lanka or India or anywhere, I'm just witnessing an awakening, full stop, with everybody. You know, the woodcutters and the mechanics, on some level, there is a massive shift of consciousness, and on a basic level, I was really noticing that even my own mother and the generation of my mother in their 70s now end conversations by saying, "Bye then, darling, I love you," and that so didn't happen 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
So, for me, I can't help but witness this shift and people feeling permission to express love.
Yes. And that is definitely a sign of awakening that, you might not notice. As indeed I haven't really, although I have noticed various, I do get various waves of energy. And we'll talk about some of those later. Going, you know, just sensing that people are more. It's hard to tell up here because people are generally very pleasant. It's a really nice place. It's not like London where people are hurrying and hustling and bustling.
Yeah.
It's a bit like. It's like a second world country where the modern world has almost passed it by. So,
from what I've experienced in Scotland and Manchester and places further up north than London, is that the quality of awakening is expressed through a very grounded, practical, salt of the earth, kindness, compassion, and wisdom. Basically for me, awakening isn't always about having knowledge. But what awakening for me is about self-realization and deepening into a level of awareness that is beyond the mind, where one accesses their own body wisdom. And I guess in a way that's very much part of the subject that I'm here to talk about with and share about tonight is, you know, it's about as we deepen into intimacy, into me, I see, we are really actually opening ourselves in a surrender to the light of who we truly are. But can I carry on? Do you mind?
Yeah, do go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. So, you know, for Jeremy, what I see from all over, you know, the one thing I can't help but notice again is that women so deeply yearn to be met and held by a man in that way where they can experience the ultimate levels of intimacy and to be opened to God through their own sexuality. And yet, to really have the courage to drink from that holy cup of nectar, we, you know, the first stage of that is to drop into stillness and to open ourselves to experience intimacy with ourselves. So that is Into Me I See, a place where we have the courage to own the places that we're not in integrity, we're not walking our talk, we're not acting with harmlessness, and to look at where we've got to purify our lives so that we feel an at-one-ment and a deep level of peace from feeling that we're living in a place of right action. And so this, you know, this whole process that I'd like to discuss tonight of becoming so luminous, so empty, so open to experience the ultimate of the divine cosmic lovemaking that's happening all the time. And I'd like to go into that more in depth, really. Because all the time that we're yearning, we think something's going on outside of ourselves, where we really, in reality, have to make that alchemical marriage within ourselves.
That's a very interesting point, Rita, because this is actually, you know, we're talking about awakening, and I think that's part of what I've been realizing this year, mm-hmm. is that when I fall in love with someone... You should be able to hear me.
I can hear you.
All right. I can hear you. Turn your speakers up. if you fall in love with someone, when I fall in love with someone, I will speak from the first person in non-violent communication mode. When I fall in love with someone, the feeling that I'm getting... And, you know, many people have said, well, that's you, you know, that's your own love. And I didn't get that until earlier this year when I met somebody who really didn't, was quite indifferent towards me.
Yeah.
And yet I was experiencing this. So I was thinking, right, okay, so there's some resonance going on there. And she's obviously not feeling it, but I'm okay. And I'm okay with that. Because I'm now starting to realize what people have been saying all the time, which is, that is your own love. That is your own self. That is the feeling of your own higher self.
Yeah, reflecting. Yeah, I understand that. But one thing within this, and I'd like to go into a bit more, is very words falling in love is very indicative of the exact thing that you're talking about.
Exactly.
Because, in Tantra, there's a rising in love, and it's true, it's impersonal. There's an indifference, and it's impersonal. It doesn't mean that one becomes promiscuous at all. It means that when we are, when we've made our own alchemical marriage within, when we're in that place of wholeness and inner completion, the only thing that we could ever want for another person is for what they want for themselves. Like, you know, really wanting the best for another in a non-wanting to take way. And actually, for me, the highest level of Tantra is that when we align to the source of creation, the source of existence, and we're able to really open our body to receive the fire of our cosmic monadic self or our soul, which is, of course, just, you know, I'm going to voice this, but most of your esoteric listeners will know what the soul is. The soul, to give it definition, is the merit that we've accumulated from every good deed, word, and action throughout all of our lifetimes that's generated and stored electrically in the causal plane. And, of course, our path of evolution, the whole of humanity, lives each lifetime to develop the channels to open so that the light of the soul can pass through the spine all the way down and eventually radiate through the solar plex. But in that process of becoming the monadic electric cosmic fire aspect, when that actually can travel unimpeded down to the base of the spine and basically unleash the sleeping serpent to come back up in the caduceus spiral to then open the brow center, and this click happens in the body where we actually drop into the present, we feel whole and complete, and we're able to be really in the now, you know, on the deepest levels, not theoretically, but just to really be present with what is. In that place, meeting another in a tantric state of the ultimate intimacy, where we're open enough, spacious enough, empty enough to allow another being to pass through us atomically, that we would never want to possess that person. It would be much more of just a meeting with never knowing how the next meeting is going to be, because we're not having a preconceived projection onto the other person.
Wow. Well, that's that. That's my last 3 weeks.
Woohoo! Yeah. Yeah. So you're in a very, it's not a falling in love, you're in an arising into love. Mm. And being in a place of a new quality level of meeting in truth.
Yeah.
And emptiness without projection. And it's very liberating. It's very freeing to be in that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank God, we don't have to go to dinner parties.
Yes, exactly.
Because I was thinking, you know, what's the worst thing that I hated about various, right? Having to bloody go to dinner parties, to go to your partner's friends, most of whom don't like you, you know? It's hell, isn't it? You know?
I don't know. It's not my world. I really hear that. I can understand that. I mean, basically, you're Libra rising, aren't you, if I remember rightly?
Yep, you're spot on.
One of the things that you are part of that lesson of having your soul shine through your ascendant being Libra is to actually bypass caring what anybody thinks.
Yeah.
When you really, really have, you know, what's the word, harness that, you're totally free. So it wouldn't. It just doesn't matter.
Yes. Well, since my 50th birthday.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry.
Which was a few months ago, March. And ever since then, I've had one of those. Every day, in every way, I give less and less of a damn. Actually, not of a damn, but you know what I'm saying.
And exactly what you're saying. I had that on my 40th birthday of realizing I was free, and it was the best day of my life, actually, when I actually woke up feeling amazing and feeling like, oh my goodness, I really know my no, and I know my boundaries, and I know that I can say no to things really well is a great thing.
Yeah. And yeah. What is, you know, there's been this old phrase, you know, life begins at 40.
Yeah.
And you don't get it until you get to 40 and you realise, oh, wow, I have just decommissioned all of the constructs that my parents had put into me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm now able to live my own life. And that's why life begins at 40.
It's so true. So that happens at 40. But guess what, Jeremy?
Yeah.
We're in for the beautiful flowering, because in the Mayan calendar, I'm not any expert on it, but they say that at 52, your life really begins.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's when it gets really fun. And you wish that you was 16 again, but my Mayan thing is white galactic wizard.
Okay, so that's you. So that means you're a refiner. Your gift is to refine things. I'm a yellow spectral sun.
Oh yes, of course you are.
Exactly. Ripened, and that's why I'm boundaryless. That's why it was helpful to be able to say no.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Your energy infuses everywhere. So let's talk about what you're talking about, which is the
art of intimacy.
The art of intimacy. Now, let's just, because it's the I word, you know, a lot of guys are a bit, you know, about the word intimacy. And what exactly does that mean?
Okay, that's a really good question. Okay, let's do an exercise for everybody who's listening to this. To just really, for a moment, get into that space of intimacy with their own being. Like, how does that feel where you drop deeply into your body and experience how it feels to feel your own chakras? So this is my interpretation of this language of chakras, etc. So basically our chakras are vortexes and gateways, intergalactic gateways, that store the information, the merit accumulated through the mantras, the prayers, the right action. These are the centers of force that can either be dormant, active, radiant, you know. And depending on the level of our awakening, the point is that in the highest levels of Tantra, one becomes aware of their centers. How do they feel in their own body, energetically, like tuning into the energy of them? And in this intimacy of like feeling what it feels like to be present in your physical body, and to radiate the quality of self without mind through the body, a beautiful surprise and gift opens up, and that is that you can access deep levels of bliss states. And so I'm not talking about emotional rapture, I'm talking about high electrical bliss and fire. And so intimacy for me is where we have intimacy with ourselves, and where we can, from that place of comfort within our physicality, of actually listening to our bodies and dropping into the absolute levels of stillness, to then open ourselves to have a sacred relating with another, and in that to just be able to, I mean, it's very different. We both live in places where people are comfortable to hold gaze with another person, to meet a person through the eyes. And it's very interesting, you know, I grew up in London, and just recently being on the tube of how people avoid eye contact because that's too intimate.
Yes.
To, you know, like people would feel like it's almost rude to look for more than a split second glance of less than a second at a person. So people spend their times in this very intimate way on being in a tube carriage or a train carriage of avoiding contact or intimacy. And as we get older, we start to realize, actually, it's a joyful, beautiful thing to make contact, to actually smile at another person as you're walking past, to make contact with the eyes. And so, you know, the ultimate stages of intimacy with a lover is to be able to stay in that contact of holding our alignment with the source of creation and to bring that to the other. And then that the other can hold and stay in that energetic at-one-ment with themselves and with another. However, the culture that we live in, and in these times, or up until now even, on this planet, people haven't, you know, humanity hasn't been awakened. So this is only the beginning of coming into being able to actualize this on Earth, of having this quality of sacred relationships that we've been yearning for years. And interestingly enough, in the Piscean period, the last 2,000 years, most of us did many, many lives of celibacy and wandering and spending a lot of time in caves, and the men were in the West, were out to war, and, you know, we only had very small moments of any depth of contact. And for me, I see that that wasn't bad, it was the time, and now we're preparing to have made this alchemical marriage within ourselves so we can actually have a true contact with another. Because real intimacy cannot happen until we know our own divinity and love ourselves at the highest level. And from that place where we really, we can rest in being, that we can actually hold that space for another and with another.
Without worshipping them, but recognizing the God self within them.
Exactly. It's actually worshipping.
When I mean worship, I mean give one's power away.
Okay, yes. Because for me, I feel that to have a very sacred relationship is to be able to witness the Buddha or the aspect of deity through each other.
Yes.
Because one of the most painful things, and why do most relationships end up being a whole interplay on the emotional treadmill where people go into power struggles, competitions, victim, self-pity, all of the rest of it. Why does that happen? Is because where we haven't processed our own stuff and we don't know our own divinity, of course, then very quickly we go into places of mistrust of the other and blame. And feeling that it's all them, and we're not taking responsibility of what we're creating, and that the lover, the partner, the person in our life is an exact vibrational match for how we're treating ourselves.
Wow. So I can't blame my ex-girlfriend for everything, can I?
No. Anything.
You see, the interesting thing is that, you know, like I say at the beginning of the show, I go beyond duality. Once you go beyond this, what becomes called the dynamic, and it can, you realize that you're responsible for everything in front of you.
Exactly.
You know, especially the bad stuff. That it's. It's a whole other... and
it just turns it on its head.
Yes, but it's like a different way of looking. Now, again, it was part of a conversation that happened over the last couple of days, is that when you look at a dog, for instance, there are two ways of looking at a dog, and one of them scares it, and the other one makes it feel comfortable. And it's like you pull back the focus. You don't focus on the dog because it can feel so sensitively that you're kind of, it's the predator eye.
Yeah.
And it completely freaks it out. And that's sometimes how we look at our partners.
Yes. I really hear that. I love that wisdom. And that's true. And the same for babies as well. On that level. It's about encompassing the other energetically.
Yeah.
And having focus in your own heart.
Yeah. Seeing them instead of looking at them. I think it's like Yeah, when you've got this severe focus, which is why if you're short-sighted or if you need glasses, it kind of helps when you're with babies, you whip them off. I always found that babies prefer me without my glasses, and I think Joseph even used to pull them off my face. I remember one baby used to pull my glasses off my face so he could have a good look at my eyes.
Oh, I love that. It's very interesting because you're Pisces and you're talking about focus, because that's very much your understanding as a Piscean, which is the most evolved of all of the signs.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I don't. But yes, this very interesting thing. I had Shari Edwards on the show the other week, and she was talking about focus in hearing, which is yummy, right? Check this. You can listen to the sounds in your own head, but you can listen to the clock across the room, and you can just at one point, you know, just shift focus from your clock to your head and then back to the clock, back to your head, and you can really feel a different, and this is the same kind of mental process that's going on when you're focusing your mind to meditate or when you're focusing your mind to look at something.
I fully agree. I know somebody who had his awakening through his capacity to include all sounds as his meditation, and just really focusing on the sound for his awakening. That was beautiful. I love that. So I hear you, but you know, on that level, let's say that any route can be the focus to our awakening, including relationships. So in fact, a relationship is a fast track method to see where we're not healed. You know, every human being highlights to us a reflection of ourselves to show, you know, all where we are healed. You know, it's like some people, you can be with them and your body feels so yummy, open, spacious, comfortable. And if you're with another person, this is because I know people, when I give talks on Tantra, they love to understand what is the highest level of Tantra, and that's my favorite thing to talk about. So I'd like to just share, when I'm talking about that, it's not about what sacred position to have sex and intercourse. No, it's about the quality of stillness and holding and meeting you could bring to another, where in the highest level it's like where you can drink the breath of your beloved in holding that person as being their pure being, their awakened self. And through seeing them as that, they can be that, and you can drink their breath as being pure nectar, soma, and that a kiss that could be for, you know, half an hour, an hour, just melting and going through many, many levels and dimensions, where your two foreheads can go together and the light, the pure white light of radiating through to another, where it opens up through the crown of your head and back down through your back of your neck to, which is a gate there, the carotid glands that opens, you know, and connects to your rainbow bridge, and then to feel the light pass down through your spine, and all sorts of things happen where you can melt into the emptiness of the Tao and experience that ultimate place of the absolute, where one's orgasm becomes this electric white light that opens in every cell of our body and becomes a million cells of liquid bliss. That's the quality of high levels of intimacy that I would like to have the conversation of how can we get to that.
Wow. I'll have some of that. So it's a quality of energy that you're talking about. It's the ability to all right, and the way, when you were talking, this is the way I saw it. It was very much like your paintings, and you, this is probably the way you experience life as you have, yeah. is that everybody has like, everybody's like a comet, that they have a trail of light and particles that trail past them, and that kind of are flowing gently from them, and that in the tantric energy, these two energies become blended, and you can taste each other's.
I think it's similar to that. I wouldn't say it's about gentle and trail. I would say it's very, each one of us is a very, very specific, unique, geometric form. And my ultimate moments in this life so far have revealed to me that we are literally all letters of living light that are moving through time and space. Once we take the storyline out the way, once we take our physicality of our matter, the body out of the way, what we actually are, what resides, is these sacred geometric golden letters that are the geometry that we're made up through, that are having that are this intergalactic language. I've had several experiences on that, and the whole of the book of the Keys of Enoch, which I've glanced through, I haven't read it in much depth, seems to be all about that. And that's what I see us to be. The point is that lifetime after lifetime, that how do we build the channels, the nadi system, and the circuitry so that we can have these expanded experiences that I'm talking about? Because basically, if our channels, our nadi system, our chakras, and our meridian system, you know, all is blocked through our conditioning, then we're just limited in that place, or we're caught up on the emotional treadmill of doom and gloom.
Let's talk about that just for a minute.
Okay.
Because let's talk about the toxins that we're exposed to and the remedies, just very briefly. For instance, we get fluoride in the water. That blocks, you know, that's now a grand meme that, you know, that blocks the pineal gland, which is the, you know, the brow chakra. So,
the brow chakra, I'm sorry to correct you, darling. That's the pituitary gland is the back brow, and the pineal gland is the crown chakra.
All right, okay, sorry, excuse me.
It does block the pineal gland, you're correct. But the point is, okay, let's talk about that, because, you know, you've got that beautiful girl in your studio, lady in your studio, the fire horse, from Japan. On March the 11th, after this tsunami happened, by the very beginning of April, I went into quite a moment of depression that I hadn't experienced for years and years. And I was interested, and what happened to me was I tapped into the collective consciousness very deeply, whilst I was, you know, wanting to understand, are there going to be much more of these disasters? And I was reading reports on the level of radiation in England and Europe, and the suggestions, there were reports written about, please don't eat spinach and salad. They're my two favourite things, lettuce leaves. And because they're filled with radiation in Europe from what's happened in Japan.
Wow.
And I bought into it, and I went into this thing, and for a moment, you know, and it was good because I tapped into what exists in our collective. And one of the reasons, Jeremy, that I do actually come out to talk about these esoteric subjects, because Ageless Wisdom has been my study for 25 years, is not because I think I'm some teacher that's got further along the path, and that's why I love that you talk about this isn't about gurus, is only because I've often been asked to speak on panels with other 2012 speakers, for instance, like Jeff Stray and my friend Peter Taylor and you know, Daniel Pinchbecker, all of these guys. And what I want to say is, yes, there are vast amounts of toxins on this earth, and that ice caps are melting, and there's all sorts of things. But what I've thankfully got within my Buddhist lineage for many lives is this capacity to witness the good, the true, and the beautiful, and to deepen in my understanding of what's pure view. So, for instance, when it comes to, okay, the ice caps are melting, how terrible. Well, actually, the memories of the waters in the that are melting and being released onto the earth are exactly what's needed at this time. You know, because obviously water water stores the memories. And that everything that's unfolding on this earth, and this is, I'm not speaking from a theoretical place, I'm speaking from a place where in my greatest moments of the highest bliss states that I've been on, in this lifetime, what's been shown to me is the absolute beauty and perfection, and that nothing can stop the light, and nothing can stop the unfolding of our awakening as humanity, and that we are not our physical bodies. That's the bottom line of it. And that what is going to help us, if it is your karma, for instance, to develop pancreatic cancer or whatever it is that you have created for yourself to grow through, because the soul is in a continual journey. If you've created a life where you're in this particular lifetime, you're going to be a heroin addict for your whole life, to expand your bandwidth of having to deepen into hell realms to experience being just lost in the astral for a good while, it's not a choice. And I've shed many, many tears, just like the mother of this earth, the earth mother herself, to feel the pain of any one of her children not meeting their full potential in this lifetime. However, on another level, nothing can stop our evolution. And the only thing that we can do to speed up and deepen into bliss is to breathe each breath as a prayer of gratitude, and not go into the, you know, the conspiracy theories, thinking that there's an us and them. And I feel like we have to include it all to know that, you know, one of the things I think that's the most helpful thing on this planet to clear toxicity is actually the kahuna method of transmuting through the power of forgiveness by taking responsibility. So for me, to the waters of Japan, the thing that I was doing and other friends of mine were doing was to say, Japan, on behalf of humanity, I am so, so sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. And we can do that for anything and anyone, to transform and to transmute the energy of the toxicity by taking it in through our bodies, by asking for the forgiveness that brought it to that point.
I think this is this is almost like a science of forgiveness, the Ho'oponopono. I'm pretty sure that my life really started to take a much better turn when somebody told me about that. And, oh yeah, that really makes sense. And the story about the psychiatric hospital.
Exactly. I always tell that story.
Yeah, it's a great one, isn't it? But
it's relative.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say, do you want to quickly tell it now, or shall I quickly tell it?
Go on, you go for it.
Okay, so I came across this book called Zero Limits. Is it? Is that the name of the title?
I'm not sure.
I think it is. And it's basically about this gentleman that was asked to help this criminally insane ward of a psychiatric hospital to work with this Ho'oponopono technique. And basically, before he ever visited the ward, the gentleman did this technique. He had the pictures of all of the people, and he was asking for their forgiveness. Not from a place of personal responsibility, but from a place where he, on behalf of humanity, was sorry for their pain and asking for forgiveness. such a powerful technique. I've used this for so many people that I've had to clear karma with. And anyway, the bottom line was, all of the people in this ward all went home before his visit. They were all, they transmuted, transformed and got better. And, you know, it's a very powerful thing to go to the sacred waters and to pray to the water devas who are have sent out to the elders around the planet to say, you know, we're in big distress. They're all the mining underground and the nuclear experiments that the French were doing in the sea, and all the different atrocities and violations to our waters around this earth, that we are part of humanity. It's like one particular day I was in a 12-hour meditation. It was an Archangel Michael meditation. It was a shamanic one. And suddenly we were singing this Kali mantra, and I was just uncomfortable because my voice was very loudly singing this Kali mantra and loving to sing Kali mantras, actually. And there was this part of me thinking,
oh my God.
You know, I'm thinking, why is this that I love singing these Kali mantras and I'm so not comfortable about Kali? And then I realized, you know, there's a place within myself that's so scared of the dark and so scared of embracing the destructive female nature within myself that would have an abortion if push came to shove, and has misused my own sexual energy. And so I realized in that moment that I honestly had to embrace that part of me in all women, in all humanity. And this is part of the awakening. It's not all about projecting ourselves up into bliss states and into the light. It's also, it's once we know our divinity, to recognize that now the real work begins. Once we can really know our divinity, the work begins, because it's from this place that we actually go into the space of clearing the bloodline that we've been born through. Because we were not, as an unawakened humanity and a planet that's becoming sacred that hasn't been sacred up till now, we haven't been born through parents recognizing us as deities or our ancestors. We've been born through unconsciousness, blame, shame, guilt, and very negative imprints.
That's right enough.
And so the awakening is where we lift and clear the bloodlines by having the wisdom, the love, and the compassion to be able to put ourselves into another person's shoes and to truly forgive, to recognize that they weren't conscious because they couldn't have been. It was the time. And that is what the Christ taught us in that very moment of his crucifixion, which is, you know, Lord, forgive them because they don't know what they do. And that's, you know, it, but it's not forgiving from a proselytizing superior place either. It's from a place of recognizing that, but for the grace of God, there go I, and I have deep, deep compassion for this person and what this person has really been through. And the only way that we can actually get to that level of compassion is through having gone through the hell realms ourselves.
And to get to the point of thanking them for the journey.
Exactly that. Exactly. Yeah. So let's take that then into the context of relationships with our lover on a daily basis.
Right. Okay, this is the fourth time that I've found washing up in the sink.
Exactly, the toothpaste isn't on the lid.
Yeah, it's on the right.
Anyway, so the one of the biggest, fastest ways that the relationship, so, you know, this is the basic pattern of relationship. An in-loveness begins, a falling in love begins, where we separate from ourselves and look to the other to complete ourselves. This is traditional householdership relationships.
And this is where it all starts to go wrong.
Yeah. Are you going to say something?
I was going to say this is where it starts going wrong. Because you know, I've been thinking about this. You know, most of the time it's like you know, you end up with the partner that somehow you've managed to trick into you know, this is how it is. It's not how it should be, but the most of the time, most of the people have ended up somehow together with a partner that they've managed to manipulate or trick into being with them.
Let's use the word seduce.
Yes, thank you. That's a better word, but yeah, they've been tricked into it.
Yeah. And so anyway, but let's just say, okay, let's take in the last 10 years, okay, as we've evolved and we haven't, you know, we're at some level of awakening has happened in us, and we contemplate ourselves as light workers, and or at least see ourselves, and yet then a falling in love happens, or a rising into love, even a conscious relating. I've been watching it with my friends who start off with what they consider a very conscious connection, conscious relating, you know, running each other baths, giving each other beautiful massages, a sacred connection. And where does it all fall down? Because in intimacy, the layers that get peeled, and, you know, through, when you have a very sacred meeting sexually, you're releasing fire, and the fire and the heat basically brings up the dirt and the conditioning and what isn't clear and healed to come, the toxicity, to the surface. And we end up having to transmute and work with the other's karma. And that's what that merging is. So it really has to be from a conscious place to be able to actually actively transform and transmute a lover's karma without going into blame. Now, I can just, sorry, hear people knocking at my front door, my guests. Would you mind just talking whilst I quickly go and let them in? Is that okay? Jeremy?
Sorry about that, yes. I'll fade up before I start talking. I'm going to play a little tune, so we can you can just have a quick break. So we're going to listen to... I was going to play Sia, but somehow that's disappeared. Oh, there it is. No, that's Sia too. Sia? Where's that? Yeah, I'm sure that I had it on my computer here. There is it. Let's see if I can bring it across now. And it doesn't drop in. No, it's trying to drag and drop, but it's not happening. So let's play something else then. Let's have some John Lennon. And this is number 9, Dream.
Thank you.
the one and only John Lennon, writer of all the Beatles songs. Anyway, meanwhile, meanwhile, we are here with Rita Jerez, and we're having a deliciously juicy, yummy time here. You wanted to share a prayer.
I did. It's actually really a beautiful invocation. It's the great invocations that are affirmed in the present, so it changes flavour, and I just love it, and I think everybody else will. So I want to share it in case you don't already know it. It is on my website, which is RitaHeraiz.com, RitaHeraiz.com, and it's under the page called Truth Teachings. So it doesn't come from me. It comes from ancient times, brought into the future, but it's one that I always love to share at the beginning and end of any sacred work I do, and I consider this very sacred. So if everyone who's listening wants to just drop into stillness, into their body, and align to the solar angel that's been with them since the very beginning of time, and to take some deep breaths through your nose, and holding that for a moment or two, and releasing the tension by letting it go through the mouth. The breath is always very cleansing, very beautiful way to just get in touch with your body and just clear away anything that's tension that's been building up through the day. Clears the emotional body to take deep breaths through the nose and holding it for a few seconds and back out through the mouth. From the point of light within the mind of existence, light streams forth into the minds of all. From the point of light within the heart of existence, love streams forth into the hearts of all. I am you. You am I. We are one. From the center, where the divine will is known, purpose and intent aligns with the one and all in loving service to the one and all. From the center of humanity, the plan of love and light is now made fully manifest. Love and light and wisdom now restores the balance on planet Earth. Love and light and wisdom now restores the balance on planet Earth. Love and light and wisdom now restores the balance on planet Earth. And so it is. May the light of spirit shine upon us, upon all beings, in all planes and all dimensions, now and forevermore, for the ultimate good of all. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Om Shanti. Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you. Beautiful times. I keep celebrating that we're in these times of just being able to recognize our soul families wherever, and that we're in these times that we can have this quality of conversation. And to me, that the ultimate of these times, Jeremy, is the fact that this is like we are the rainbow people who are developed enough to be able to drink the cup of nectar from all the different designs, traditions, paths, and recognize that they are all leading to the one.
Absolutely.
You know, we could sit with the Hanuman, Babaji people, or we could be with all different traditions of Buddhists and respect and love their design, or to be with the indigenous Amazonian Shibibo tribes, or the Santa Daime, or to be with the Aboriginals. I mean, we're so blessed, the Gawas, that we can see the beauty of all the traditions and recognize that they're all paths leading to the one. We don't feel that we have to only be one and to try and limit ourselves. That's a very special place.
Yes. And, you know, You and I, we're both kind of born between worlds. You know, you're half Indian, half Lebanese. I'm half Jewish, half Catholic, and these. We've seen the breakdown of the authority that these entities had on our people.
It's true.
And it's really quite refreshing to see people kind of stepping out of the rubble, saying, "Hang on a second, I've always known what I've known. I've always known this, but I was never allowed to speak it." And there are some really auspicious moments, that are happening all the time now, where people are speaking for the first time.
Mm.
We're part of a wave that has already kind of gotten that one going, and we're going on to the next phase. But there are more and more people who are sort of waking up and expressing who they are and this amazing divinity. And people who you would, in the past, even in the recent past, and people said that one would have a certain arrogance to say, well, I'm exhibiting Christ-like energy, or, I'm carrying Christ energy around for the world and doing all this. But it was, up until recently, that was something that people would be very judgmental about.
Well, it would have been a blasphemy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And yes. I hear what you're saying, and I'm also just so blown away by the young ones. Oh my God. I keep meeting people who are about 21, 22 that are just awesomely awake. And yes, and obviously some of the young children, mind blown. Just mind blown, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm humbled, very humbled by the pristine quality of radiance and alignment, and this quality of people and their knowing that I'm meeting around the world with the young ones. I mean, what I would like to say as well, that this level of awakening happens when we access the real, basically, our nervous system is actually the tree of life that sits within us. And most of us, including myself, have lived jam-packed, stress-filled lives, and that stress caused through the conditioning, the neurosis of the imprints of, oh, darling, you mustn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't, loyalty, obligation, acting from the solar plex.
Mm.
Losing sight of one's own rhythm, own timing, own sense of knowing who they are. And the awakening very simply comes back to when we drop into stillness, when we make time to meditate, and we start to listen to our own inner voice, and we can hear this program that's running a critical, negative, downward, clockward, anti-clockwise spiral of energy through our throat center. And when we actually can turn the wheel to becoming aware that this program is not who we really are, and once we can basically stop judging ourselves and putting ourselves down, and stop thinking, oh God, I'm such a stupid idiot, or I'm this, or I'm that.
Absolutely.
And then once that energy stops, and once we catch the thought, choose to stop it, not by suppressing it, by bringing the light of awareness to it, then the next stage of that is that the energy from our sacral center, our sexual energy, our ability to be sensuous, sensitive, and can start to grow, glow, flow, and travel upward towards the throat center, making the alignment to come into right relationship with ourselves and therefore with others. And that's how it all transpires. So you have to start with the stillness, listening to the inner voices that are running the show, making choices not to say judgmental, critical things either to ourselves or to others, to only use our throat centers to say uplifting and inspiring things rather than this underlying sarcastic, putting people down, judgmental, which is just thick within the collective field of England, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the next state of the awakening, as we decide that we no longer want to live a life of lunacy, lunar activity, sucking and taking energy, living from the four basic control dramas of aloofness, intimidation, self-pity, and gathering information by constantly interrogating another. And we start to become aware that there is actually two realities, one being solar, one being lunar, and to realise that we actually don't want to be taking vampiring people's energy. Because this is what the falling in love, in intimacy, and in relationship is about. It's where we want somebody to feed us, as opposed to in Tantra, in the highest level of Tantra, it's like all we want to do is to share our connection. And for somebody to have the courage to sit in the fire with us. And this is the difficulty, is that most people, so the yearning is there for that level of relating, but most people are, if you don't mind me saying, shit scared of that.
Sitting in the fire, yeah.
Sitting in the fire, in the blaze of awareness. One of the paintings I'd like to post is one I've done of Krishna and Radha, where I meditated on this exquisite painting for 6 months. Somebody else had painted, this woman who's a Krishna devotee for years, and I loved this painting so much, I thought I'd like to copy it and paint it. But as I meditated, I couldn't comprehend why Radha looks like she's pushing Krishna away and saying no. And eventually, I came to the realization, actually, she's pushing him away because she's in awe of her, the blaze of his radiance. And often that's what intimacy is. It's like, you know, to feel the light and the fire of another person's soul, and to feel that electric white fire of another person's chakras, and the meeting of energy through the eyes, it takes somebody very aligned within themselves to, one, radiate it out, and two, receive it back.
To find two people who understand the concepts of responsibility and sovereignty and all of that other good stuff is pretty tricky at the best of times. But I wish it upon every single listener who listens to this.
Yeah, it's true. It does exist, but people do forget very quickly once they're in a relationship.
Yeah.
We're at the transition point between Pisces and Aquarius. So Pisces was about martyrdom, and, you know, one of the traits of that era is self-pity and martyrdom and sacrifice. And so relationships that we're coming out of being trained by our forefathers and parents to be sacrificial and to make compromises in relationship. And the new awakening with Aquarius, the age of Aquarius, which is all about telepathy, which means openness and transparency and not having anything to hide, being fully authentic, not playing games with our lover, saying something for effect, or, you know, like women are trained to not to make a man chase them as opposed to be authentic with them.
Yeah, I mean, this is where what I started at the beginning with, you know. Mm-hmm. The thing about you know, you have to lie, and I could never get behind that. I couldn't do that, and that's why I never, you know, I wasn't a Casanova, because I couldn't do this kind of sucking up to people or lying or complimenting them or you know, just basically, you know, being inauthentic. So I'm happy to wait until I find somebody who appreciates me as I am, and not as how I act, you know.
Okay, but so I want to understand something though. I am hoping and presuming that when you say not compliment them, but so, but presumably you do feel comfortable to really verbalize, acknowledge, and witness outwardly through your throat centre, through your mouth.
Gosh, yes.
Juicy, beautiful about the level.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, gosh, yes. A constant flow almost.
Yes, when you don't like
it. I'm not being cool, no. No, I'm not being kind of, you know. And that's the thing. That's the one of the things. And maybe you should talk about this. The whole thing about women attractive. Why are women attracted to obviously the wrong guys, abusive men?
Yeah, because it's so deep. It's so deep on so many levels. Because you know, women are obviously every little girl's in love with their father. So depending on what their role model was with their father, I mean, in my case, I adored my father, and he was my best friend, and I held him in my arms as he laid his body down a year ago. And but he was, excuse me, a compulsive gambler, and that opened the door. I went through several relationships with drug addicts because I grew up being conditioned to be a codependent. And my astrology is very codependent, and that's what I've been trained to do. So I was most comfortable by having been the codependent to make everything okay for my dependent dad. And that was the role I knew until I recognised, and actually more to the point, is that through my father I had understood, like, he lived his life. He got his pleasure through adrenal, living on his adrenaline as a compulsive gambler. And one day I caught myself, thankfully in my 20s, so it was a good 20 years ago now, just that's what I was doing, creating drama after drama after drama to repeat this pattern in my body, which was fight and flight and adrenaline. And thankfully, you know, the more that I'm awakening, the more I come to my centre, I don't need that patterning anymore, I'm not in that. But women, it's about conditioning. Women are attracted to what they've been conditioned with, of what they feel familiar with. I mean, and one of the things that we do, you know, a good chapter in the book, The New Earth, by Eckhart Tolle, is all about the pain body.
What's the name of the book?
It's called The New Earth, and the book's by Eckhart Tolle.
Okay.
And the chapter that I'm talking about is the pain body of our addiction, all of us, into continually going back into that familiarity of this pain body. And one of the reasons that I have really enjoyed, and after 25 years of esoteric studies, actually work with plant teacher medicines in this life now, in the last few years, is because I see that to be a way forward. If you work with a very responsible shaman who can hold you in the space to actually journey with the likes of San Pedro or the divine plant Mother Ayahuasca, that you can do some fast track clearing of your conditioning to really just clear these imprints and begin that journey home to your heart and to deepen into your authentic nature of who you are and to feel who you are. And to stop attracting what's wrong for you, that's going to keep you in a place of limitation, violation, and all the rest of it. Yeah, I think, you know, Jeremy, another side to your question is, it comes back down to what I love to give retreats about, to take people into a journey about deepening into intimacy and tantra, and it's very much, the reason that women don't feel that they can cope with what they are seeking and yearning is to be given to really, really receive, to be honoured, to have the quality of sexual healing and meeting that they are yearning for, is often because it's not what's encoded into them. They don't feel worthy to receive it, and yet they so want it. So it's a whole training.
It's a very delicate subject because of the trauma that women receive. You know, there's hardly one attractive woman that I know who hasn't had some kind of rape situation in their life. It's so hard to retain the purity and the divine femininity in the world that is clamoring around us.
So the new way to look at this, though, it is a very sensitive subject, but if we keep bringing it back to up until now, humanity hasn't been awakened. So, of course, we've all come through atrocity, incest, and in the pits. You know, it's been a cesspit. I mean, we've only just come out the Dark Ages in the West. It's unbelievable what goes on and is unspoken about. And how we're going to heal this is coming into the one-month within ourselves and to deepen into peace, to go through what's called the third initiation, where we are radiating the light of tranquility into the earth. And that often does take periods of celibacy, definite long periods of to do a lot of meditation so that we can really know ourselves. It's the core principle. It comes back to that. You know, that's why often I feel quite uncomfortable to put myself out as a tantrika, because there's so much of what's talked about as what is supposed to be tantra is actually just about how to improve your sex life. That you can look at how to improve your sex life, but it can't... Basically, when we come to this at one moment within ourselves, having a beautiful, enriched sex life is a byproduct of that.
Yeah.
It's that way round.
Yeah, it's the effect, not the cause.
Exactly. Because if we just focus on wanting to find satisfaction through sex, it's the wrong route to be going down. Because it's elusive. The goal goes further and further away. The real way to experience these multidimensional, intergalactic, orgasmic experiences that open into layer upon layer of liquid bliss is through meeting of our true nature, the highest aspect of ourself, and getting into the emptiness so that we can actually experience the divine cosmic lovemaking. And then that experience, we don't even have to experience it through the beloved of a male or female form. It can be with the clouds passing by, or the way that the sun is kissing us, or the wind, or the different relationship with all the different flowers and their essences and energies and the trees, and even the beautiful dogs around. And my son has a Siberian white husky.
No. Oh, beautiful.
Oh, they're called Samoyeds, and it's called Whisper, and she is just the embodiment of... They're so shamanic. She's the embodiment of just pure white love, white light. I just feel so blessed when I'm around her. They're extraordinary. So it's just about whether we can really tune into the spirit of all things. But once we've met that spirit in ourselves, then of course we can.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think that's really... I should leave it at that. It's about 12:30 now. I think that, unless there's any other questions or anything you'd love me to say, but I would like to leave your listeners to just digest what I've said. If you would be interested to come on a retreat with me, or, Jeremy, if you want to invite me up to Fintorn to hold a retreat. I'd love to come up in the winter, actually. I love Scotland in the winter.
We shall arrange something. I'm gathering a group together who might be interested in that kind of activity.
Not even the shamanic, but on the tantric level.
Yeah.
Go into consciousness and... But anyway, if you're interested, come down to Glastonbury and have a visit and do some work on just deepening into consciousness and exploring your own intimacy and tantra, then please either email or connect with Jeremy and pass that on to me, Jeremy, or email me through my website, soulcenteredastrology.com, or if you would like a Skype reading with me, I do those too, and that's www.soulcenteredastrology.com, and centered being the English spelling C-E-N-T-R-E-D.
Hang on, soulcenteredastrology. For those of you who are dyslexic, I'm typing it into the chat room here.
Thank you.
There we go, soulcenteredastrology.com. And your Skype details are on there. So if anybody wants to do a reading with you, you just connect through there.
That's right.
Lovely. And yeah. And what are the kind of areas that you help with? Obviously, perhaps relationships, but what would you say was the... what's the most juicy one that you like to deal with?
Juicy? So you mean to do with sexuality?
To do with in terms of your personal readings.
Oh, okay. On personal, we'll see about this one. With astrology, soul-centered astrology, it's very much about looking at the tools that you've been given in this life. From the moment of your first breath, that are there to help to you to flower through and to have a look at understanding what's your ascendant and your dharmic purpose, your soul purpose, and then to understand how the transits are passing now, so you can understand why things are how they are and how to make best use of this cycle that you're in now. So that's what I love to do mostly.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It is really good. And basically, the bottom line is I'd love to give you a reflection on seeing yourself.
There you go. Thank you, Rita.
My pleasure. It's been really enjoyable talking with you. And let's do it more.
Yeah, let's do some more. Maybe another time we can take calls and have bigger discussions, or maybe would you like to be involved in a round table ever?
Oh yeah, I love round tables for sure.
Excellent. So listen, here's a track I made in 2006.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
I dug it out today because I opened up an old Macintosh computer that I had lying in my shed, and I hooked up a speaker to it, and out came this thing. And I never used to think much of my voice, but it sounds all right here. It's the invocation that we've used for many years, you and I, is the I invoke the power, the love, and the wisdom, and stuff like that. So it's a jolly good one to get out with, to play out with. So Rita Herreys, soulcenteredastrology.com. Thank you very much, and thank you on behalf of my chat room listeners. And this track, I haven't published yet, because I only dug it out this afternoon, is called Seer. Here we go. Physical and etheric body. Through this day, through every day, I ask this in the name of the Christ, to serve the One. The past has gone. I am the past. It makes me what I am. The future comes. I also am the coming destiny, and therefore I am that. The present flows from out the past. The future colors that which is. I make the future also by my present knowledge of the past and the beauty of the present.